Hello and welcome to the latest in a series of interviews highlighting the strategic value of public relations to business. I'm Corey Kamgoz from the Chartered Institute of Public Relations, and I'm delighted to be joined by Lawrence Slade, Chief Executive at Energy UK, the trade association representing the electricity and gas sectors. Lawrence, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks very much for having us. Energy UK represents an industry that's quite unique in that it impacts every member of society. How important is public relations advice when making long-term strategic decisions for the business?
Well, I think you've really just underlined it there, in that we're one of the sectors that actually touches every household in the country, every business in the country. So actually being able to understand and communicate effectively with stakeholders right the way across the country, politically or consumer groups, etc., is absolutely vital. So having people on your team who can help you navigate that area and sort of understand how best to communicate in different circumstances is really critical.
And what is it you look for in that comms team? What are the skills and qualities that you look out for members of staff?
Well, I think trade associations are an interesting mix always, in that for a trade association to work, you've got to have really good people on your team, but you've also got to interact really well with your members. So it's the joining together of the members' skill sets and your staff. And so when you're looking at PR or comms or public affairs people, you really need people who can bring all of that together, who understand the needs of the members, understands the needs of the sector, and can start moulding that into a position for the organisation, often under intense pressure.
And can you think of any examples of where communication and building that compelling argument was particularly crucial?
Take the energy switch guarantee that we kicked off. That was designed specifically in liaison with government to say, okay, we need to encourage more people to start engaging with the energy market. How do we do this? We came up with the idea of a guarantee, and it's involved lots of different parties to start building that together. So, I mean, that's one example. An ongoing one, though, is the rollout of smart meters, where, you know, it's an energy supplier's responsibility to do the rollout, but it's a national programme. So we've got to work with multiple bodies right the way across the country to get this programme delivered and start dealing with some of those myths and busting them.
What's the role of public relations and communications in a crisis? And can you summarise the value that those teams bring in those situations?
I don't think any chief executive looks forward to the Sunday afternoon phone call that something's breaking in the Monday papers or the Friday afternoon call. I think an effective PR team on your staff will actually take the shock factor out of that, because it's something you will have prepared for. It's something you will have done scenarios on. So if and when it does happen, you're prepared. So there's not that sort of immediate rush or fear as to sort of, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Actually, you think, okay, this has happened. Which plan do we put into action?
So if we're sticking with the value of public relations to business, what is it that distinguishes public relations and communications from other disciplines?
The thing about the PR side of it is they need to be over everything. So they need to have an insight into everything that the organisation is doing. So I'll come back to the point I made earlier around the one team. So you've got to try and integrate the PR operation as much as possible into every part of the business. So when there is an issue, positive or otherwise, they're already briefed. They already know what the core points are there, because that can speed up your response and actually get you on top of the issue as opposed to running to keep up with it.
What can you tell us about the energy industry's post-Brexit plans? And what's your personal prediction for how the next 6 to 12 months will play out?
We're engaged with two other trade associations in Brussels, Eurogas and Eurelectric. And I mention that because one of our big concerns is actually how, as a sector, actually as a country, we engage with Brussels post-Brexit. We are reaching out to other organisations, using the trade associations that we're involved in, to start building a new network, and one that doesn't include UK MEPs or UK officials. It's a little known fact that EU energy policy has been massively influenced by the UK over the last decade. And so because of that, we've been able to build up some fantastic relations. Energy is one of those areas where we are physically connected to mainland Europe, whether it's gas or electricity. So there is a reason for actually ensuring that those relationships are still there and can develop.
You touched on myth busting. So I'm quite interested to learn how your communications team is tasked with debunking those myths. And what is the greatest communications challenge facing your industry?
One of the biggest challenges over the last few years has been the growth of social media. A story that breaks can suddenly get a life of its own. And before you know it, it can go to 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000, 2,000,000, 3,000,000 people. So it's the speed of response and actually how you manage that.
And do you think that's afforded a greater level of responsibility towards public relations professionals?
I think so. But it comes with a word of caution, actually, because I think you can also get a bit sort of tunnel vision with just being trapped in the social media bubble. And I think the other responsibility of a good PR team is to actually break you out of that.
Lawrence Slade, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.